Would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So last week, I mentioned stories that we often tell ourselves, which aren't necessarily true. How we like to project into the future and think we know what's going to happen. But what if we flipped the coin today and we changed the narrative about these stories of the future and put a positive spin on it? Might then they be called using our imagination if we change that narrative? Now, one of the greatest imagineers ever was Walt Disney, right? His imagination was amazing. Now, a little background about Walt that maybe you knew or maybe you don't, but he first landed a job in his home in the Midwest and he failed. He got fired after like a month. So he then started his own company, to which he got taken for a ride, literally, and he ended up broke. So he headed out towards California. And when he arrived in California, he had only $40 in his pocket and a coat and a pair of trousers that didn't even match. But in no time, Walt was back on his feet with a new idea and a new deal, a new company underway that he started with his brother, which they called the Disney Brothers Cartoon Studio. Now, he had success with these short films that were cartoons called Silly Symphonies, and that gave Walt some courage. He thought, if people will watch these short films, cartoons, why not watch a whole hour and a half? So he started writing and drawing Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. He felt he could crack into this featured length film business. So on June 3rd, 1934, the New York Times, no less, announced that Walt was in the process of his first feature length film. But industry insiders, they sneered at the very thought of it, calling the project Disney's folly. You should have heard the howls of warning, Walt once said. It was prophesied that nobody would sit through a cartoon an hour and a half long, but we decided there was only one way we could successfully do it, and that was to go all the way in. So after months, which then turned into years, of working and budgeting and going broke trying to make Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs come to fruition, Walt and his brother succeeded. So on December 21st, 1937, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs opened to critical acclaim. Now, I think we've all probably seen it, right? I mean, Walt's imagination, it was a wild gamble, but it became a box office sensation. And he's quoted as saying, "We realized we were in a new business." Walt had imagination. He could dream. Now, our book of Revelation that we heard from this morning, it seems like a wild dream. If you've ever read it, and I invite you to read it, you will wonder where in the heck did this book come from and why is it included in our holy scriptures? It's so different from all the other scriptures that we normally read. The books about prophecy, the books about Jesus leading us and how we should act. We get to this prophetic book, and it feels like a dream or a vision, which that's what it is. Now, the book was written to a very different audience than us today. It was written to actually seven worshiping communities back in the day who were made up of poor and marginalized people who were trying to just survive, to resist, and to refuse to follow the empire that was over them. It is concerned with unmasking the powers of the empire. These people in these seven churches were facing political oppression and murdering at their time. And this book of Revelation provides them with a moral compass for those who stand up against the empire and want to live in the way of Jesus. The apocalyptic images that are produced in this book of the end time are used to disorient people and to help them shift their imagination. And finally, this book offers a very forceful critique of the empire, telling readers to follow the ways of God rather than to be complicit in their unjust world. Seems very easy to do. So after recounting this apocalyptic vision of destruction and wrath in chapter 6, which is right before our reading here in chapter 7, the author gives this preview of a new creation that's to come. This new creation, which is far bigger than one can imagine, it's full of love, of caring for everyone, where everyone in the world gets along and realizes that they are God's beloved. This new creation is far more inclusive and global than what they had first imagined. It includes, and I quote, the multitude, which is a huge shift away from thinking only the 12 tribes of Israel would be saved. This new creation, one which the author could have not written about, but had to have seen in his vision and his dreams, it's a beautiful place. And after this, I quote from the scripture, "I looked, and there was a great crowd that no one could number. They were from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and held palm branches in their hands. They cried out with a loud voice, 'Victory belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" This vision shows the idea of inclusion and transcendence. What was thought to include just a few select people has been expanded to all people. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had difficulty reading Revelation over time. Because people quote it as the end time. This is what's going to happen at the end of time, when Jesus returns and God goes whoosh to all of the earth. And I've been thinking, gosh, that end time's taken over 2,000 years. How much longer are we going to wait? I'm like, is this really the end time prophecy? Is it just a magical day when it all happens? I wonder if instead this is an example of how we can use our imagination and work to bring God's realm here to our creation. Brené Brown writes, "If we own the story, then we can write the ending. If we own the story, then we can write the ending." If we as Christians own our heritage, own our story, we can write our ending to fulfill what Jesus prophesied about, what Jesus taught us, and to bring the world back into full communion with God. Now, what does it take to rewrite the ending? It takes imagination. It takes dreaming. My screen went blank on me. There we go. What does that mean? We got to imagine here. End time came early. Imagination and dreaming. I came across this great speech by Eddie Pierno, called Imagination. And so I took it and I adapted it for us today because it felt like it hit the nail on the head of how we could imagine our world into being what God desires and how we could bring the whole world into union together. So hear this adapted speech called Imagination. It starts with, "Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge, For knowledge is limited, whereas imagination embraces the entire world. Imagination is stimulating progress, giving birth to evolution. There is a distinct difference between today and tomorrow, the real and the so-called imagined. One has already been created today, and the other is in desperate need of a creator tomorrow. And see, until we learn that we can be proactive in this regard, imagination doesn't mean much. It's just a car without wheels, a plane without wings. It's more of an escape than a bridge to something better. But once we realize how much control we have over tomorrow, we become, in our own right, creators. Not just waiting to read and react to stories already written and handed to us, but possessing this incredible ability to pick up a pen and craft something new, becoming agents of change. What if we positioned ourselves to gravitate towards an environment that was best for us? What if we imagined a world not exactly like today, but one better conducive to you and to me, to you being you and to me being me, a world where we are set up to thrive, where sure there will be bumps and bruises along the way, losses and lessons to learn, but where we're immersed in a journey towards a destination that excites us, that lights us up. Can we find the courage to not only imagine that finish line, but also act accordingly, moving towards it? I know the hardest thing to do is to recreate outcomes that look different from the current moment. Because, well, the current moment is all that we know. It's all anybody knows. And, by the way, it's all anybody wants to know until something new is placed right in front of them at their feet. Until proof exists, changing your life or the lives of those around you. Meaning, you have to literally look at the road before you, see the outcomes that aren't there, and then you have to believe in those outcomes. You have to drive towards those outcomes. Have conviction in your ability to overcome obstacles in your way to those outcomes. Truth be told, chasing your imagination is simultaneously one of the greatest burdens one can endure, as well as the key to which makes life worth living. There's something about being human that pushes us towards hope, towards the possibility of tomorrow being better than today. And that's not to say to don't be grateful. It's not saying don't see the beauty around you or appreciate the world you live in, but I believe we're here to take that torch from yesterday and move it one step further toward God's kingdom. Maybe it's in your own life, that small step forward in your relationship or in your health. Maybe it's improving the lives of those around you, family, friends, community. Maybe it's something even larger. It's a societal shift. The true meaning in life is finding the courage to push one step further down the path of possibility towards being at one with God. And as I wake up and look around, I think to myself, that has to mean cherishing the ideas in our heads. It has to mean understanding the power of our own instincts, the power of our imaginations, the power of our beliefs and our hopes. It means understanding that it justifies all the hardship that comes with taking those ideas and giving them life. Because everything around us was built with the courage to take little nothings and make them into something. And when we're lost, or when we feel alone, or for one reason or another, we forget that, we need to remember that right now is not forever. It can't be. It's a stepping stone to wherever you decide tomorrow is. And that goal isn't perfection. You don't need all the answers. You just need the courage to take one little step in a new direction, or to write one new sentence down on that page, or one new brushstroke on the canvas. Because that imagination is not fiction. It's not the delta between the possible and the impossible. It's not there to entertain. It's there because it's your divine map. And you may look at your divine map and think to yourself, you're lost and it's unclear, it's muddy, it's confusing. That the directions, well, they're all incomplete. But what I can promise you is that the pursuit of this world you've imagined, it will bring you greater satisfaction than anything else could. It will remind you why you are here and show you that life isn't supposed to be easy, while helping you appreciate it for being that way. It will bring you closer to God. See, your imagination is your path to that ideal state where you can thrive and you can be you and you can push the boundaries and spread your wings to be in a world of God's unending beauty and love. Don't ever let the current state of today convince you that your hopes and your dreams for tomorrow are too big, or that you've missed the mark or stepped out of line. In a world of reaction, be one of the few who mirror and decides to live life proactively, taking initiative, dreaming, imagining. Be one of the few who stand wholeheartedly behind the world that God has imagined, that God is dreaming of a new creation. Today, my friends, I pray that we might be able to imagine a world that God has designed. One like we sang of a few minutes ago, one where all of creation can be in union with God. Because if we can imagine it, we can work towards it. And when we work towards it, we're working towards God's kingdom. For as Revelations 21:3 says, "See, the home of God is among mortals." God is with you. May it be so. Amen. Will you join us now in singing Revelation song? Let us rise in body and spirit.